Pants people, listen up. We are so excited because every year, we're getting a little bigger, doing more crazy things. We're showing up at events, doing live shows, we start Nerd Out Nights, and we may have some things cooking in the future. I can't talk about it. I can't talk about anything. I just want you to know that you should follow us on our social media pages, Facebook, Instagram, Discord, wherever you can find us. Keep your eyes on it and keep looking because maybe, just maybe, you'll see some cool new updates from Fantasy Pants. Tell you, we've been having another wild week here on the network. Reports of small-scale attacks by a young dragon on Palanoa has brought the Magesmith and Zubir Rufus together in a collaborative hunt for the monster. Meanwhile, Jericho the Traveler and Rory King have allied themselves with the Lightsea Lancers to discover the truth behind the mysterious spirits appearing all across Central Jaina. I would tell you what Bob and Goaty been about, but, kids do watch this show, so, needless to say, Goaty's stink has left its mark on the werewolf clans of Thelmira, and, it ain't washing clean for a long, long time. In other news, Handsome Jai is once again single, so I guess, all in all, we're looking at a typical week here in our crazy Concord worlds.
That was fun.
That was fun. Bringing them back. We got a lot of luminaries out there.
And I love that they're like all together now.
They're hanging out. They're doing things. They exist.
Yeah.
They're solving problems. They're doing way cooler shit than you've been doing.
Fuck off.
I'm telling you right now.
I'm surprised
I'm
surprised Storyteller Orin stoops low enough to talk about like the celebrity gossip. Dating who.
But here's the thing. It's what he's supposed to do. It's what they want. He wants to have a lot of, like if you see it a little bit in the show, he doesn't have a lot of say of what he does. Like when he went out of his way to speak about Zebulon and Jules when the Citadel and the network at large didn't want him to, he got in trouble. Like he's a mouthpiece for a larger collaborative sort of group. While he adds flair and flavor to his show, a lot of what he does, he has to say. There's been
it's
times
all
where
about the ratings.
He's talked about the royal family of Cerule, who he knows are corrupt, and he talked about them like they're great, great people because he has to. Mm-hmm. It's an interesting thing. It's a little weird, and yeah.
Hmm.
All about the ratings.
What would happen if somebody were to, I don't know, take over the airwaves?
Ooh.
The crystal waves.
Is that what we're doing now? Taking over the crystal waves?
No, I don't know.
Who knows? Who knows what's going on?
I don't know yet.
So many mysteries abound in the Citadel.
Mysteries abound.
Yes. Speaking of abound, hang on, I'm trying. Speaking of abound, I was bound to be.
Mm-hmm.
Nope, hang on.
You're almost there.
I was bound to lose sleep after that last episode. I'll tell you, that was a good one. I mean, that shit was crazy. Hey, that was good.
No, it was all right. It was all right.
Hey, shut up.
Yeah.
Try it again on more sleep.
Okay, yeah, I will. I've played so much D&D this week. It's crazy.
Mm-hmm.
And the holiday week just ended. It's over. It's great. We're going into spooky season. Halloween's right around the corner. It's already here.
It's already Halloween.
Oh, I'm listening to scary stories all day long.
We've discussed this before, September 1st.
Hell yeah. But that's not the banter. Hang on. I already segued. I can't re-segue. Speaking of Halloween and scary
cool
stuff, I was pretty scared. Fuck, never mind. So the last episode was wild. I mean, easily one of my favorites we've ever done. I mean, the combat, your role play, all throughout it. Holy shit.
You gave me goosebumps.
It was good
you
stuff.
Gave me goosebumps. And yet I lost sleep. I felt weird about that one. I felt horrible because I made a certain choice in that episode. And it's not really a choice I would say that I made. It's more a reaction I made to you guys doing something really, really cool. But I want to talk about this a little bit because I think it's the kind of thing I like to talk about table talk, talk about like, you know, when we do things a little different with what the rules say and why we do it and why I think it works. Because a lot of people out there might not think of, I think the same way as we do. And it was very interesting, right? So we have this moment. I'm about to strike Jean Franklin. And I'll put it out there right now that this is a pretty arbitrary decision I made. Nothing written down says this villain is going to kill Jean Franklin. And he had Blanche as his primary target. Blanche, he knew your name. He knew who you were. He was dueling you. You were insulting him left and right. He wanted you dead, but he couldn't get in. And so I decided in the last minute, okay, then if I can't hurt you, I'll hurt Jean. And through hurting Jean, I'll hurt you that way. I'll choose a psychological and emotional wound over a physical one if I have to. So Millar goes, he goes to strike Jean. First time around, he lives. And I was set on that because I said three attacks. I said it in the episode ended. I meant it in this next episode when we started. I was going for those three attacks. It was going to happen no matter what. But he survived. And one round later, we found ourselves in the exact same predicament.
So wild.
Crazy. I roll, hit. Damage, enough. Goes unconscious. AC drops. And here I have advantage to finish him. And as I'm going to roll that die, as I go, I mean, before my hand can drop that thing, Steven flies in here with this dramatic beat. Now, mechanically, that wouldn't be allowed to happen, right? Because it's a reaction, all that. But like, I mean, it was such a, you imagine the scene in the movie when Blanche throws a sword and says, you know, strike me, I'm the one you want. Do you have any honor? If you do, come for me now. And Millar, seeing that you're open, seeing your haste is dropped, your AC's dropped, you know, spell sword or spell song, sword song, blade sing song, blade song,
boom. Sing song,
sing it. Song, sing song's gone. No more sing song.
Oh, I like sing song.
And like, I mean, what a beat. What I, mechanically, what happened there is we essentially stopped combat, paused it to allow for an out of combat scenario and sort of like, you know, a check. And I think that's something that DMs should consider doing because it was honestly so amazing. I mean, the roll was not a gimme. It was a close thing. It was, yeah, yeah. I mean, you had a flat check on that. Oh, and it worked. It worked. So, like I said, I lost sleep because I wasn't sure if I made the right call there. That was a very big choice. I wasn't sure if going with that made sense. But what world could I have said no?
Well, yeah, I mean,
just a cool, cool moment, just a cool thought. And it was your creative thinking, your quick thinking that made it happen. It's not like I made that happen. You set that whole thing up. I simply yes-anded it.
Well, it was either do nothing and watch Jean die, or at least like try to say something.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, yeah. And at the end of the day, you know, thinking about this and really agonizing over, I decided in the end to just roll with my instincts, to take a book out of our page out of John Franklin's book. I decided that, like, you know, sometimes you got to decide what's right in the moment, and it's probably the right thing because it's what you felt was the right thing right then, right? That make any sense at all?
Yeah.
But holy shit, yeah. Such an episode. It was amazing.
Yeah, I thought it made for a really cool ep. I mean, would it have been super sad and dramatic to have a funeral? Yeah. But a D&D wedding? I don't know how many of those you get. Yeah. That was pretty special.
Going into it, I knew it was going to be a wedding or a funeral at the end of that episode. I didn't know which one.
You knew it all week and you tortured us all week.
I had notes for both and I was ready for both. But man, I was so delighted at how cool that was. But I had a thought afterwards. And my thought was simply that in allowing this, it would have been cool to take something, some cost for allowing this pause in the combat, allowing this moment. And my hands are fully off the chest piece there. It's over and done. But I thought I wanted to pitch something to you, Steven. Something I thought was kind of cool. So really, really quick, before we get into this episode, I want to talk about scars in D&D.
What?
This is a weird thing. It's scars. Because think about this. In a world where magic can heal you, how does one have a scar? It must be a very particularly deep wound, I would think, or perhaps a wound that feels more meaningful, that your soul attributes to being a part of yourself, right? Someone who loses an eye in a dramatic moment, they probably keep their eye lost, like Dresden, because that moment was this dramatic beat for Dresden that changed him as a person, that he carries with him his whole life, and he identifies as a one-eyed man. I think that might be a huge part of it, or it's also just maybe it's a nasty enough wound that you can't just bring it back. My thinking here, in this dramatic moment, Blanche taking all of her honor on the line to challenge this creature that wants more than anything in this world to draw her blood. When Spearmaster Millar stepped up and slashed you, got that one shallow gash somewhere on your body, I like to think that maybe it left a permanent, lasting scar. What are your thoughts on that?
I think that's really cool. So You're asking me about scar placement?
Yes, yes, yes. I'd like you to tell me, if you accept a scar, tell me
a scar.
Where'd you get cut? Your sword gone. Leave yourself open. I come sliding in with my spear.
Well.
And you bleed.
If you were a evil fish man with a spear and you were face to face with your enemy, where would you strike?
I'd go for the face.
Really?
I think so.
I was going to say the heart.
Well, Blanche's heart's protected by shell. I mean, if I can get through that shell, if that spear, I mean, the spear probably could.
Yeah. Like, turtle underbelly.
That's true. Is that
shelly? I don't think that's like going to protect you from an, you know, undefended spear attack.
Yeah. I mean, I'm sure it could pierce through.
Yeah.
You know, for sure.
So, I mean, I don't think he made direct contact. You know, he didn't pierce her right through into the heart, but maybe just askew right near her heart. There's a scar that healed into an X-like shape.
I love it because it's like the idea that one way or another, I was going to scar your heart.
Oh, you sick bastard.
Wow.
Hey, that was you. You set that up. That is great. Holy shit. And with that, we move on. The wedding is over. Jean Franklin has left the party. Once again, moving forward, we find ourselves with the lack of a sidekick. Perhaps a void we will find filled tonight. Perhaps. For it is time to come home. I'll ask you guys. Let me toss it to you. Before we leave Nawari behind, Zinda, the Golden Bay, all of it. Before we step onto that Bastite conquered jewel. Is there any more business you have in Nawari? Do you want to run any scenes?
I don't know about... Definitely not a scene, but before leaving, Blanche sets her apartment in order. She thinks she's going to be gone for a little while. You know, she puts sheets or something over the furniture.
Clean all your stuff out in a cardboard box.
No, she, you know, she...
She's been let go.
I'm assuming that she is able to come back to her apartment at some point, her rooms.
Fully fired.
She turns around to nobody. Who's coming with me?
No, she goes in and Jean's changed the lock already. Her stuff is piled up in the hall.
Oh, sorry, sir. It's awkward, but we had to...
Okay, so I am assuming that her room is still hers to come back to someday.
The Master of Offense will escort you out.
She just wants to grab a couple extra things is all.
Hell yeah. I'll let you go.
No, that's
we'll stop.
It.
We'll stop.
That's
roasting.
All I wanted to say. That's all I wanted to say.
Took a long time saying it. Just saying.
Go figure. Go figure.
Oh, we're in this mood tonight. Okay.
And she locks the door. And heads to the gem station.
You've been leaving this world over and over for a while now, going on these crazy adventures. First to Sansa Tian, then to Danitu to fight the spiders, to, but actually before that, you went to Arnakek to get involved in some crazy ass sail sleigh race. You've been all over the place. But throughout all of this, your home has been here in the Golden Maid. Perhaps in a way it still is, but you feel it as you're leaving, that this is no short sort of reprieve from your duties here. You have a task that it's monumental.
Right. Every time she's left up until now, it's always been with the understanding that it'll be for a short period of time and that she has a responsibility to come back to. This time she doesn't think it's going to be a quick journey.
And even before, when you leave because John's gotten himself involved in some stupid-ass thing again. He's like, oh, John's going to die again. Better go save him.
She's not leaving for John this time.
Yeah. You're just leaving for yourself.
For
which
her.
Is, yeah, it's wild. You're stepping into a new world, looking at a new horizon. One filled with mystery as you leave the Golden Bay behind. You leave. Jules, anything you want to do here before taking off?
No. I think he said what he's needed to say and done what he's needed to do.
Hell yeah. Imagine the morning following the wedding. You had a full night of celebration and goodbye. And so I think the goodbyes this morning are not these deep, profound things, but casual.
Right.
Because they're They truly are just a simple see you later. You leave Golden Bay. I believe Chester might request a quick stopover in Zinda before you go. Short ways out of the way towards the Bastite Conquer Jewel. So he can pick up some nice silks and falbricks, as well as a fine tailoring kit. Just, yeah, so we've been gone for like, you know, what's it, 11, 12 days now? I feel like people are going to be kind of mad. It's been a long time. I don't think we've been gone this long before. Like, this is, whew. So yeah, presents. Haha.
Have we really not been gone that long?
No, every time I've heard now, it's been a couple days. Jeez. This time you're gone for a while.
Jeez.
Enjoying the hospitality.
Wait, so this was longer. This was longer in real time than the whole Sansa Tion arc.
Yeah.
Holy shit.
Sansa Tion, we were counting the hours. It was like 2 days.
Oh my god.
A lot happened in those 2 days. Hell yeah. With gifts in hand, Chester follows you. You, no elephant this time. You travel down that familiar jungle path, cross over the bridge that you battled the giant caiman beneath. Tikalosh no longer swims in these waters, and there's no tourists gathered around. A somber thing, as you know now, he was simply poisoned. Another victim of Diva Luma. But that's a shadow that lies in the past behind you as you move towards the rising sun of a new story. Write that down, that was cool. you reach the Conquer Jewel docking bay. You see, as you're sitting here, there's the Bastite Conquer Jewel lowers. You climb aboard, and now, Jeremy, play your cool thing as the jewel rises up into the sky.
It's already playing.
Play the cool part, and vanishes. Oh, it's so cool. And you're back on the Radiant Citadel.
And we'll call it there.
That's it. That's the whole episode.
That was a super mini arc.
Yeah. Here you are. You step off the jewel, I think, immediately, as kind of happens every time now when you return, even sometimes on world. Like, I think I mentioned it before in Orin, but paparazzi guild members were combing Zinda for you. And the Silent Verse and Margus, they're kind of doing a lot to like keep you sort of hidden as you're moving around, keeping people back. But now that you're back in the public, as you step off the jewel, word's already reached the Citadel that Jules is coming home. Blanche Trudeau, coming with him. And you just step off to the flashing lights, cameras. How did you discover that I did the murder of the Blanche Trudeau? Was it true that you're a me luminary? Just people going wild. I think shield bearers are sort of pushing them away, opening a path for you, as they often have to do. It's like you're kind of finding it's one of the main jobs to do is just keep people back when important luminaries re-enter the Citadel so they can go about their business and not be bothered.
Blanche,
oh no,
sees a paparazzi who asks her a question, and she stops for a moment to answer. In light of the retirement of Jean Franklin as a luminary, I think it is only appropriate that another tortle take his place amongst their ranks.
I love that. Jean Franklin did not retire as a luminary.
Well, he's not. He's not.
He's not here for a bit.
Doing his...
True.
He's not active. He's not actively a luminary.
Hell yeah, hell yeah.
So she'll say it differently.
No, I love it. I just don't want to create a plot hole, because he did say specifically he's going to stay a luminary, and he even took on the title of the Fisher King.
Oh, the Fisher King, yeah. Given Jean Franklin's leave of absence...
Ooh!
Good.
As That's a luminary...
Beautiful. Ooh. Leave of absence, total luminary, this will be fun. One of them looks to you and, Blanche Trudeau, what will be your luminary title? We have the Midnight Prince, we have, what do we call you?
Well, it's obvious, isn't it? You can call me the Master of Defense.
It's so cool! Oh, it's so cool! Run, Master of Defense! Holy shit.
Oh, I love that so fucking much.
Don't want to give up that title, man.
It's so cool. I mean, you are. You are the Master of Defense, yeah. Truly. You cannot be hit. It is one of your foremost qualities. I love that. You hear this, people are just screaming, shouting, getting all excited. For once, Jules, the spotlight's shifted from you, and you're kind of able to move around sort of carefully as people are just really interested in this new luminary. Blanche has been hot on the public's radar, and this is a scoop. We have to get into all this stuff. We're going to have to go and meet your incarnate sometime soon here.
Ooh.
As they're screaming at you, one question I think you hear above all the others, just like, Blanche Trudeau, Master Defense, what happened to Ozen? What happened to the Storm Eye?
Thank you, everybody. No, I actually do not have a sidekick as of this moment. We'll be looking.
You were his apprentice, weren't you? Were you not? Were you not?
Thank you all very much.
And you start to move away. The same person running over to get you. And like the shield bearer sort of beat them back as you move away from all of this.
She handled that well.
That was very political. I love it. It's good. That's good.
Yeah, not ready to answer those questions.
Yeah. But maybe soon. You will be. Blanche, where are you staying? John Franklin has a room at the Pale Moonlight that I'm sure that's always there. He's still...
Dude, so, like, I was gonna drop that later. Like, I was gonna go to the Ugly Coyote and, like, hang out and do all the stuff and then be like, okay, well, I'm gonna return to my rooms and then walk into the Pale Moonlight and be like, I believe the Fisher King left me a room. He stole it from me!
He stole it from... Hey! It's cool.
What is with you turtles?
Humans just don't have a taste.
When comfort presents itself. Besides, I quite enjoy Beauregard's company.
Oh, yeah.
I forgot about him.
Paparazzi left behind. You are moving through the Citadel. Where do you want to go first? You could swing by the Pale Moonlight.
I think Blanche is going to follow where Jules goes, I assume back to the Ugly Coyote to check in with everybody, get reacquainted.
Where are you going, Jules?
He's going to the Coyote.
All right, hell yeah.
No.
I need you to see it before I describe it. Otherwise, I'm railroading.
But, I mean,
I need to hear it.
I imagine it's just a familiar scene now.
Hell yeah. Oh, yeah, it is. Know. It's a scene we're going to see so many times in the show. But honestly, it's a lot of fun to
like
do it.
Walking down the road, like silhouetted in the moonlight.
The Aurora Diamond is like, yes.
Silhouetted. Every time he comes back, he just looks defeated and just tired.
Yeah. This time back without your buddy. But still got Chester. Old Chester, who's just frolicking down the streets. He looks a little nervous.
He's like jumping. Nah, okay.
A little bit. He's excited to be home, but he's a little nervous because he knows it's been a little while. He thinks there may be a little bit of trouble when he, in particular, gets back. But he's got this gift basket kind of held up high like some mighty shield against all the woes of the world. You
guys are going to be all right. Just talk it out, okay?
Yeah, of course. Just talk it out. Just, hey, Jules, she asks, not a drop, okay? I didn't drink. Jules, I did not drink.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Oh, yes, good. We were too drunk to remember. I mean, no, we weren't.
Is that lace I see in that bag, Chester?
You guys move up to the other coyote. And as you're actually approaching the saloon doors of the old rundown inn, looking a little better now, looks like some more money's been put into it in the last 10 day, the doors actually seem to open before you get there, and you see a figure is leaving the coyote, kind of pushing out, not really paying attention to you, and almost runs into you. As you see the red bandana holding back the black braided hair of Kiana, who pops up and, oh my, Jules, you're back.
Yeah.
I see you're somebody else's heroes now. I've heard a lot of talk about your work on Nuari.
Well, we take care of our family.
Well, actually, speaking of family, I'm actually just leaving to meet Uncle Coley for lunch. He'll be glad to know you're back, though. He's been worried about y'all. Where's John?
He's staying back for a little while. He's got some things he's got to take care of.
Understandable. All right, I'll let you... See, he stops and looks at Chester and just kind of... You got a gift for jeans? You've been gone a while. Chester's, yeah, you know,
I think it's something lacy.
No. It's just a kind of... Oh, all right, well, your funeral. Good luck. I should actually say, this is actually important to me. In the book, in the art, Kiana wears jeans. Jeans are canon in the Radiant Citadel, so jeans has jeans too. They both have jeans. They're jean friends.
Yeah.
I just want everyone knows that. Denim jeans are canon. Thing.
Yeah.
They're canon in this old-timey world. Hell yeah.
I mean, denim's really old. Denim's really old.
It is really old. Kiana kind of nods and he gives you a quick, like, very brief hug. She's always happy to see you, Jules. You're her personal hero. And she sort of kind of moves away, like, gotta go. I'm already running a little late, but I'll see you later.
Yeah, tell him I said hi.
Will do. Yeah, he'll be happy. She's kind of waving, kind of starts running down the street, and you turn towards the old ugly coyote. You push inside?
Yeah.
As the door opens, you come face to face with the edge of a blade. Proffered your way in challenge as you hear Roundstuff speak and say, halt!
Jules pulls out the Sturge sword.
Holy crap, what is that?
Let's see how your practice is coming along.
Yes, let us lock blades, and then when I win, I will be, well, your sidekick too.
All right, let's see what you got.
Yeah, let's lock blades. Roll a check here. Let's
oh my god.
What am I rolling?
Oh man, let's
what
just
am I rolling?
Roll an attack roll against this child.
No, let's both roll attack rolls and see who rolls higher.
Okay. All right.
Roundstuff has like a plus 18 to hit.
All right.
She's been practicing a lot.
17.
You just quickly twist the third sword, and her like dagger in her hand goes flying off, thunks into the wood. She pulls out a kitchen knife. Again.
10. Against a kitchen knife?
Hang on.
Just gotta roll.
Gotta roll.
Let the dice decide.
Well, because I have a negative. Goes flying. Ping. Pulls out a shiv.
Jesus Christ.
Come on. I've been working really hard. I'm gonna... What'd you get?
I got a 14, but Jules plays it off and... Oh, I rolled a natural 1. Oh, shit.
She bashes her thing to the side a little bit.
Whoa. Easy. Nice.
Guess you need to let me join your team.
High five.
Just like very low high five.
When you're old enough.
What is your sidekick name, child?
I will be the Raging Rabbit. Is that okay?
That has quite the ring to it.
I have a bunny suit, I think. It's canon, so... actually, I'm going to say this, Blanche. It's very funny. You're watching this like wacky little thing take place. But what's funny here is obviously she's not trained in any sense, but her form, the set of her eyes when she goes to strike, the way she holds the weapon loosely yet, you know, firmly, like there's potential here. As a person who knows students, who's trained before, you're like, wow, with the right training in years, she could be something special.
Who taught you to hold a blade, Raging Rabbit?
Well, Mulligan did, but that's because he was having me help him cut the vegetables, and now I can't do that anymore because I tried to stab him that one time.
That one time?
Well, because after that I didn't have a knife anymore, but spoons get right in the belly.
Form is nothing without discipline, child.
Okay, what? How do I discipline?
Well, for one, you don't stab your friends.
Oh, and that makes me better?
Start there, and that will make you better.
Okay, but if I don't stab anyone, how do I get XP?
I was taking a sip of beer when you said that.
You fool.
Blanche has a similar reaction and kind of like laughs it off. I am not going to engage anymore about combat with this child. Or Blanche is not.
You're just having this conversation, Jules. You're kind of like, you're shaking your head, sitting back. And then you hear kind of somewhere above you a very quiet like, hey, Jules. I'm glad you're back.
He doesn't even look. He's still looking at round stuff. Good to see you too, Miskin.
No one sees me.
I know.
This voice, I will say, you don't see it. You probably expect it, but it's emanating from like a crawl space in the ceiling with a small knot hole and one little orcish eye staring down towards you. Gotta get back to my rounds. I'll come visit you soon. We'll have a milk together.
Gotta be chocolate.
Yeah! He just kind of vanishes from his spot. As all this commotion's happening, you see on the top of the steps, Jeans kind of steps into view, looks down at you, and just sort of starts running down the stairs. Chester kind of, hey, darling, what's going on? Puts his arms out expectantly, and she pointedly moves right past him. Hugs you, Jules.
Whoa.
I'm so glad you're back. That was... I've heard stories of what happened. It's harrowing, wasn't it? But you're back and you're safe, so it's good.
Yeah, we're all safe.
Good. And she turns from you, her eyes falling onto Chester, who looks a little more sheepish now, kind of shaking his gift basket, sort of shaking his hands. You were gone for the entire March of Vice. Did you have fun, Chester? Well, you know what? Not at all, because I was missing you so bad. So couldn't have any fun. She's just, this lawnmower's just staring at him. You've been drinking. A lot. No, wait, that's not true. She just grabs him by the ear. Come on. No, ow. Jules, hey, Jules, help. She's no. Just dragging him upstairs. Wait.
I got... Talk it out. Talk it out.
I had to blow off some steam, all right? Things got bad. They got real bad on the first day, right? You see she, like, stops, maybe midway up the stairs, and looks back to him, and... I heard, yes. So it was pretty bad then. Are you all right? I heard there were deaths. Yeah, you know, a few, but it's fine. I'm good, you know? It's a long stare. Sweetie, I'm good, all right? Come on, I want to give you some presents. I have presents. Shakes the bag in front of her, and she sort of smiles at that, and her eyes flicker to you, Jules. And she shares like kind of a slightly concerned, kind of long look.
I think Jules has the same expression.
But then her eyes flicker back to the shaking present. Come on, hey, it's good stuff. You can sew that dress you want to sew for round stuff, huh? Get her out of that weird bunny suit. Though she's pretty attached to it, I don't know. Come on. And she kind of grabs him, this time by the hand, not the ear, and leads Chester up the stairs. All right, Jules, I'm going to be on for a while. See you later. Doors close upstairs. Chester also leads the party. I actually
Chester has acquired ball and chain.
I should say this too, because I realize now listening to older episodes, just want to get people aged up to where I feel happy with it. I did say Jeans was 13 when this all started. I'm going to say her birthday happened just after the fall of the Sapphire, because I've been thinking of her as 14 at least all this time. So she's 14 now. Chester's 16. 2 year gap. Is that weird?
I don't think so.
I hope not.
2 year gap?
2 year no, gap.
Okay. I don't think so.
2 year gap. She's a little bit older than
I don't think so.
Or a little bit older than his. Her birthday's a little earlier than his. So she's 14 when he's. Anyway.
They're teenagers.
I'm worried too much about this.
Yeah, they're teenagers. It's fine.
Who else is in this fucking crazy ass place?
I don't know. You tell us.
You hear, you're, after this goes away, or they go away, door closes, you're sitting there for a brief moment of silence, and you're going to hear like a, hey, oh, no. And you hear like you see Ader starts running out of the kitchen from behind the bar, like as you see Mulligan comes running out with a ladle he's whacking him with. Just, how many times will you tell you to keep your nasty fingers out of the chowder? Oh, hey Jules, I've been waiting for you. I baked a special cake for your turn, but somebody ate it 2 days ago. Looks to Ader, who kind of sheepishly,
well, you know, it was pretty good cake, and
how the heck did you ever run this place alone? You only make all of our jobs harder! Ader just looks kind of sadly down. Rounds up just, leave Ader alone. He doesn't mean to be a horrible menace. Ader just kind of looks sort of sad. But then he kind of looks up at you, Jules. And there's something very, very serious and very grim in his eyes. He says,
I'm glad you're back. When you catch a second, you mind helping me with something in the back room?
I got the second.
Okay.
You go with him?
Yeah.
Blanche, you kind of stay behind. Roundstuff is like turning her weapon towards you now. Yeah. You look strong. Let's go.
Yeah, if Blanche wasn't asked for, yeah, she'll stay and play with Roundstuff.
Ping, ping, ping. You hear
this
the sounds of...
This is so awesome.
Ellen took
so
just,
cool.
Just probably imagine this, like, just the stand up straighter.
Yeah, exactly.
You step into the back room, which is also the kitchen. I forgot, Ader's bedroom is the kitchen, which is part of why Mulligan probably hates him so much right now. So Mulligan's,
I am currently working on something. Hey, we just need a quick second. Jules, could you, please, I have no control over these kids.
Just give us a second. Come on.
Oh, sure thing, Jules. Nods and walks out.
See you in a few.
What? It was that easy? Why is it? Okay. Well, look, I don't want to bother you immediately with things like this, but...
It's... par for the course these days.
Yeah. About a week back, I went out, busy a night in the bar. Don't know who did it. Never saw a face, never saw a form, but pulls out. I mean, he reaches under his mattress, under his pillow, and slides an envelope out. This was waiting. It's addressed to you.
Jules takes it.
As you look down, you see the very familiar wax seal in the back, the mottled white and blue pressed into the form of five towers of Cerule, your family's mark.
Damn. I don't know. This is probably overkill, but I was trying to see if I could cast Dispel Magic.
Oh, interesting.
But I am out of slots for that one, so I cannot.
You have actually fully... You would have had a long rest between we did. Combat and
ice. Okay, I'm going to cast Dispel Magic, just in case. It might be paranoia, but...
You don't feel any magic coming from it. As you cast it, I think you go and there's nothing.
Okay.
But hey, it's cool. Never hurts
yeah.
to be paranoid when it comes to her.
Yeah.
You open it?
Yeah.
Hader kind of, I'll give you some time. He moves away, kind of feeling this is something bigger than him. The door closes as you pull out a single piece of parchment, a very short letter. Then you read. My dear baby boy, you must know that our house has been pushed into a delicate position by the lies of the ignorant. I know how you must worry for your family. Our kingdom is gone. Your father, ever the fool we locked away for centuries. Your dear cousin has had all power stripped from her. It is now utterly useless to us. You'll be right to worry for them both, my child. But you need not worry for me. In the midst of this chaos, I have left the Citadel. I will not tell you where I am now, only that I will be staying with a close friend. She has recently adopted a young boy of her own, and I'll be helping to raise him. I will teach him all that I taught you when you were a child. He does not have your stubbornness, so I expect my lessons will be rather eye-opening. But never fear, my little boy. This new prospect could never replace you in my heart. Soon enough, Mummy will come back for you.
Jules balls it up, and damn, I want to set it on fire, but I can't think of a cool way to do
it. Cast fireball, boom!
Yeah, he doesn't have anything that creates fire.
You could.
Is there a fireplace in there?
Can you create fire with bardic creation?
We were in the kitchen.
There's, I don't think
fire is an item.
Yeah, there's like.
Okay, yeah, I'll go to a stove.
Yeah, there's a stove over there.
I'll crumple it up. Turn the stove on.
It's already on. There's chowder cooking off. So you just throw it right in the fire.
Okay, cool. I just throw it right on.
Throw it right in the chowder.
Throw it right on.
Hell yeah. You stand there watching the letter burn away. I imagine a short time later, you step back outside.
Yeah. See? I think he doesn't even give it a second thought. He throws it on the flames and then walks out while it's still burning into embers.
I'm taking the chowder. And Mulligan just rushes right past.
Oh, you have to put it back on the burner. Sorry.
Oh. It smells amazing in there, by the way. He's getting better.
Not after that letter got burned.
Maybe not. Yeah. Good thing you cast the spell magic, otherwise it's been rotten chowder. Hell yeah. You step back out. Everyone's kind of doing their thing. I think, like, maybe we just see a moment of round stuff getting disarmed again. Oh, man. Okay, well, all right. Well, I'm going to practice the foot thing you said and the fundamentals. And then, yeah, you're going down.
Keep trying. I'll see how you've progressed the next time we return.
Okay. Yeah. She's looking around. I think she's like counting on her fingers, like, Jeans, and Mulligan, and Ader, and I think you saw Kiana, and Miskins on the ceiling for some reason, and... Fibro! Oh, Fibro's looking for you. I was supposed to tell you that when I saw you. He's looking for you.
All right, where's he at?
Oh, he's not here. He's at Xena's. With Arhalon? They've been spending a lot of time over there lately.
Huh. Well, I'm glad to hear that.
Yeah.
He's getting out.
Yeah.
Learning more.
And Xena's so nice.
Yeah, she
is. Made me a whole goat. I couldn't eat the whole thing, but she gave me a whole goat.
You did? You couldn't eat the whole thing?
That was a lot of goat.
I'm a little disappointed.
I know.
this just has to be the whole show.
No, we're just doing
this. A conversation with Ron Stuff and Jules and Blanche. Seriously, the whole show.
The whole show and Miskin watching.
Cute as fuck.
So what do you want to do? Ron Stuff's happy to go another round, but you've also heard that Fibro's looking for you somewhere on the road. And this,
yeah,
you
get I'm gonna go to, you gonna go to Fibro.
Okay, yeah. All right.
Xena's to see Fibro.
Blanche, you hear this And maybe a thought strikes your mind now that you hadn't really connected before. You came back here because you wanted to discover what happened to Ozan. What happened before Tythos? And you remember, there already is a detective on the case. You've met him briefly before to go over the file footage. He acted very strange then, like something disturbed him in those, and he almost seemed to forget the experience. It was a very strange feeling. You never actually met him on Sansa Tielman, but you know of Ar-Halon Brass, who is looking into Ozan. He was there, a witness. Jules gave you the whole update on everything, and that what part of that was Ar-Halon heard Ozan speak.
Mm.
During it all, he said some lie, a very strange line, as he was cutting down the luminaries that were there. What I do for Shadra Khan.
Jules, if it's quite all right with you, I'd like to accompany you to the Cezinas. I wish to speak with Ar-Halon.
Yeah, of course. I mean, we're partners now of sorts.
I see it that way too. I'm glad.
Same. Come on, let's go.
All right. Maybe you can tell me all about this Xena on our way.
Oh boy. I hope you save some room for dinner.
And with that, we just boom smash cut. You are standing before Xena's door. You're over there in like the sort of the gray sort of iron doors that lead into the Citadel are nearby. You're in a sort of circle of like nice kind of manors, villas that surround this space, set out for like the kind of important elites who aren't technically allowed into Auroral Town. And Xena has a manor amongst them. As you look, it's very nice on the outside. You know, lawn is well manicured, garden is well maintained. Outside is kept up very, very clean. From what you've heard, inside this building is going to be a very, very different story. You guys gonna knock on the door?
Yeah.
Doom, doom. And you just hear like weird sounds kind of inside. Here, a pile of something crashes, some glass breaks. Oh no! Oh wow! And finally, scattering steps up to the door. The door opens, and you see this huge half dragon. Just almost like a female Ar-Halon, just standing before you, looking around. Looks to you, Blanche, with kind of a quizzical sort of look, head cocks, and looks to you, Jules, and her eyes widen.
Oh, you! I remember you! You were that red-haired boy? You're Zebulon. You were Zebulon's only friends!
Yeah.
Yeah, I remember you!
It's good to see you, Xena.
You too! I'm really sorry.
You haven't seen her since.
He was special. In a lot of ways.
Yeah. He was the best. Oh my gosh. I'm so rude. Come in. I've saved you a goat. I was hoping you'd come. I have a goat for you. I've had it for a while.
Jules looks over to Blanche. Gives her a little nudge. See?
Oh, who's this old thing?
I am sorry, miss, for your loss. I thought to bring you a small gift. And Blanche grabs, I don't know, something from her, like, components pouch, some little bauble.
Oh my goodness.
She grabs it and holds open.
Spectacular. Beautiful. I know, just a blast.
She throws it over her shoulder.
Ding, ding. Perfect. The whole room lights up.
And the whole room is just piles and piles. The thing is gone. It falls into a pile, rolls behind some stuff, is gone forever. But it's perfect.
Lovely. Lovely.
It was like you look into this, because once upon a time, there's probably a bunch of rooms all separated in this mansion, but you look at like there's no rooms in here anymore. All the wall-sitting rooms are burned away or torn apart to make room for more stuff piles. Yeah. So you just kind of just looking into there, just like,
I usually come see R while you're here. R's here. He's in the back.
Ah, yes, I am sorry to impose. I would like to speak with Ar-Halon, if at all possible.
Great, great. Please let him know that dinner will be served in 15 minutes, for I'm a slow-roasted goat.
That sounds quite fast.
Yes.
You must be already almost done.
No, my slow roast is a very quick roast. I have fire breath.
15 minutes? We shall be brief then.
Just leaves. She just got to. Oh, she just gestures. I think she sees. She points to the back left of this open sort of interior space. Like, you can't see anything back there. It's just piles and piles. But she's like, if you go and curve around there, turn left at the broken armchair, and when you see the shattered wine bottle, not the first one, the third one. No, not the third one, the fourth one. Then you turn left, and you keep on the back left. It's a back left. You find it.
As we're walking along, Blanche is like, she said the broken armchair. They appear to all be in various degrees of broken.
You carefully move through just this labyrinth of junk, and eventually you find a space where the floor has been mostly cleared. Though you see books and books have been piled in the 7-8 stacks just everywhere, just walls of tomes. You know, normally everything in the place is just all strewn about randomly, but here it's just books and books and books. There's some scattered along to the floor. You also said that the wall here has been fully overtaken by portraits or like diamond camera captured still images, news scroll clippings, maps, torn pages from books, and handwritten notes, all connected by a mess of red string. It's like a different kind of hoard, a different kind of mess.
Sure,
here.
Yeah. Runs in the family, perhaps.
Yeah, you kind of turn the corner to see all this, and you're about to call out and say something, and you just hear a voice ring out from somewhere behind one of these walls of books. Goes, "Aha! Excelsior! I found it written here." You hear like another like someone sits up. You see Fireball's face go up.
What? Where? Read it out.
Miss Tan's explorations of Zantini's wild flora. The Laopop flowers first appeared during the miracle of the Risen Mountains, as noted by writer Faime Moon in his personal journal, Climbing the Mountain.
So there is an autobiography, and we have a name, Stupendo Arhaland. Oh, most excellent work. If we can cross-reference Faime Moon's own experiences, then we could certainly...
And then so they, Pyro just realizes that you're like saying, but he just turns, oh,
Jules. Oh, you're back.
Hey, guys.
Sounds, gentlemen.
Here are books. Tapper as Arhaland steps up. Oh, and he knocks over a whole... Oh, damn it. Oh,
Jules, hello. We are making fine work in uncovering this mystery.
Ah, do tell.
Well.
They maybe, like, I think you say that, and they kind of look towards each other, like, just this long kind of cocked heads, things, you know, eyes doing things. And then Fibro finally kind of just nods to Arhaland. And he turns back.
It has been on my mind since that fateful day, since Ozan spoke those words to me. What I do for Shadra Khan. I knew that it must be at the heart of all this madness, that word, that phrase. And now, well...
He pans over to Fibro, who very excitedly just jumps in.
We think we may know what Shadra Khan is.
Doesn't Jules know what Shadra Khan is?
Yeah.
You know vaguely this. It was referred to as the world of spirits, though other translations right. Later on would have maybe it may have been like something like the world of the ancients, the world of serpents. It's hard. There's a lot of various translations out there. But what okay. It is, you don't know. And it's pointed out to you that there's no world for spirits. In the Subsunko, where this originally you heard these words, the spirits live in the world amongst everyone else. There is no separate world of the spirits. Not that anyone's aware of. So it was a mystery. What is this? What and why would Ozan reference some phrase you heard on Subsunko? And maybe like, you know, what's going on? But they seem to have something way more concrete. And the way they're looking at each other, the way they're standing, the way you look like they look like they haven't slept in days.
Jeez.
Fibro's wearing the same clothes you probably was worn like a week ago. And like there's pillows and stuff on the floor here. Like they're just like there's books in front of them where they probably fall asleep reading. They give each other pillows as they do. You get the distinct impression these two have been buried in this little corner of this room for days.
Well, out with it, man. What about Ozan?
Another kind of look. And Fibro,
okay, just hear me out. We can't tell you. Not until we can confirm our findings. And not until we fill you in on what information we have gathered. It's possible we have leapt to an incorrect conclusion in our excitement. We don't want to push you into the same way of thinking. It's not scientific.
Well...
Not when your fresh perspectives could reach a different conclusion from ours and change everything. But if we give you what evidence we have acquired and you find yourselves sharing in our thoughts, then that'd be ideal. That proves it, right? Then we're right, and you're right.
Well,
please, Jules, just humor me.
It's almost like the DM can't just give us the answers.
Yeah,
almost.
You do know you're talking to the person who might be able to fill in some pieces.
That's exactly what we
some
want.
Intimate insight.
We'll give you all the information we have. We just won't give you the conclusion we've come to because We just need different perspectives. We haven't slept in days. Not much. A couple hours here and there. We're crazy now.
Blanche, tell them your perspective.
Full fucking crazy, it's true.
Well, as Jules has alluded to, I personally knew Ozen Yoshikatsu. I'm deeply invested in finding out what happened to him. So I will hear you out. Present me with your information, and I will do my best to come to my own conclusion.
Arhan looks troubled. I think he just kind of looks at you for a long moment, and then...
That's right. He had disciples. You were one of them. He was an idol to me in my youth. I always thought he was the best of men. I always thought he was a hero, truly. And then, was he like this before? I watched him murder Demilich and Gaius. He cut Okatapuri to ribbons in a second, didn't give her a chance to fight back. A coward's strike. It's not the Ozen I'd heard stories of.
I thought the same as you, and perhaps more of Master Ozen. But I understand that you too have, not of your own power, swung against those you loved.
And I have come to understand that you, Blanche Trudeau, are the detective that discovered why. Beezer's breath. I may never have known what caused me to turn my hand on Jules, on my brother, without your investigative work in Zinda. I've heard the stories in the network. You are something else.
Thank you, Ahalan, and it is because of that profound respect that I once had for Ozen that I choose to give him the benefit of the doubt and use my investigative skills to get to the bottom of why this happened. I understand that you could be of great help in that quest.
Arhalan smiles this great smile. Puts a hand out towards you, and I'll say it is his right hand he puts out, which seems, after all this time, to have finally regained all use.
Very cool.
A slight sort awesome. Of glowing comes off of it. Arhalan, fully at his best. We just have to shake your hand.
We've met briefly before, but when you showed me that the files you found in Itzminder Prado's manor, but oddly, I can't recall much of the scenario when we... But yes... I am Arhalan, and it is good to speak with you.
Hold on, does Steven remember why he doesn't
Weirdly,
recall
I
it?
Think we kind of mentioned it offhand as a sort of a part of this, but when you were going over those files, one of them was about Zebulon. It talked about Zebulon's father.
Oh, yes.
And it's been noted despite everything, despite what he knows, he can't remember a single detail about Zebulon's father, and even though the details are going to fade, and Arhalan, upon hearing just his father reference,
right,
lost his
went
shit
blank, yeah,
and then went full blank afterwards. And it seemed like he forgot most of the entire encounter there, most of the entire like scene that played out.
Yeah, Blanche will reach to meet his hand and shake it. Yes, I regret that our time then was brief, but it seems like we have a little bit of time to get into the weeds and try to figure this all out.
Hell yeah. And now I'm going to add Arhalan Brass to your sheet once again as a sidekick.
Nice.
As you kind of have this moment shaking hands, I think Fyro speaks up just like,
well, if you want to speed up our process, we do need to double check a few things. There's a few references we just came across today and last night that if we can find the proper materials, we may be able to decipher more.
As Fyro's talking, Blanche is shuffling through her bag and she pulls out her Eyes of Minute Seeing and rests them low on her little turtle snout. She's ready to dive in and help out.
Oh, you're ready to read. I love this. Yeah, just full on investigating. Fyro just like,
so I'll throw everything we have at you, but there are a few more books we need. I need to sleep desperately. Would anyone be willing to maybe pick up a few books for me from the book den? It's right down the road from the Coyote. It's a wonderful place. You should really know it. You're a wizard, right? As a wizard, you gotta know the book den.
I'm very interested. I shall go and fetch your books for you.
Yes, I could use a chance to spread my wings a little. I will join you if it's all right.
You don't need to sleep yourself, Ahan?
Ah, never. He's like half fallen asleep and he's standing up. He stands up and he fully kind of stumbles back, knocks on the power box. Ah, shit.
You'd better wait here. Xena said your dinner will be done in... She checks her... her sundial. Any minute now, I should suspect.
Oh dear, not another goat, please. I can't eat another goat.
She said this time it will be slow roasted.
That's still burned to shit.
Either way, I shall retrieve the books. Jules, have you been to this book den? Would you care to accompany me?
Yeah, I'll go. We'll take a walk.
Very well. We shall find our way. The list, Fibro?
Oh, yes. Hang on. Actually, real quick, and he kind of reaches down behind, and maybe he's like moving around real quick, grabbing books under his arm. And he's like, Xena had a few rare books buried in her, her treasure hoard. She said she doesn't mind if we take a few to trade with Penny. Surely these would be enough to trade into, to borrow what we need from her. It's pretty rare stuff, but I've been working on a bit of a list here. And he comes over, you see like there's a book called Brand of the Unicorn, a book called Darkness Rising, Mirrored Hope, and one at the very bottom, a very thick, weirdly big book called Proper Tea Preparation.
No doubt Ar-Halan's book.
Here, if you just want to bring these, surely she'll take these and trade, but what we need here, and he pulls out like a quill and out of nowhere behind his ear, paper behind his other ear somehow, he's writing down, Fire Moon's autobiography, Climbing the Mountain, we just discovered this one, a scroll we're looking for, she might have this, called Song of Our Deliverance, let's see here, it's from God's Breath, he kind of sighs, Xena's looking for the sequel to the romantic... novel Moondust, The Moon in My Hands. If she has it.
That's a good one. That's a good one.
Supposed to be very good. Do you have one? Because Xena's looking for one.
Really? I don't.
Okay, well, if you can find one. Xena, she has made me promise to.
I've heard it's a real page, Tanner.
It is very much. Also, Tears of the Dragon, an amazing book about the creation of the Shrine of Storms. And Dragon Bone would be the last one. The origin of Dialongon's sort of great sky bridges. I know it seems random. But these are all very, very important. Very, very important. You'll see when you get back, when you read them. Well, I'll show you what to look for. He hands it over. Please.
You told me to remind you to do the payout.
Payout! Oh, no! We're so late in the episode now. I'll do it next time.
Yeah.
Just keep that in. So people know why I didn't do payout.
Oh, well, I said it off mic purposefully because I didn't...
Say it
No, the way I do it now is... It's on mic enough.
Okay.
Hell yeah. It'll sound funny.
And now I'm going to leave all of this explanation in, so it's a lot funnier. A
little behind the scenes. Whoa. Sneak peek.
Sneak a doof.
This is what we usually cut out. Yeah, Blanche will grab the list, because God knows that she won't remember the names if she doesn't have the list.
You grab the list, and like somehow as you pull the paper, Fibro's already like under a blanket on his pillow, and he's like, stupendo! And just asleep.
All right. Take our leave and head to the book den.
Let's go for a stroll.
You go to stroll. I think as you're like moving out the door, you can hear, okay, it's ready!
Xena?
The whole place is filled with smoke.
I guess, go. I think they're sleeping, actually.
Oh! Damn. It's all right. I'll keep roasting it. It'll be so slow roasted.
I hear goat. Excellent leftovers.
We'll
wonderful
be back
leftovers.
In 1 hour?
Will we be back in one?
Yes.
I'm not prepared to make a time commitment.
We'll be back in 1 hour, and I will slow roast it for one more hour. You can see like a charred wreckage behind her.
We ate on the road, but you're most kind.
Nonsense. I'll see you in 1 hour. You turn to leave.
Good day, Xena.
He turns back and you hear his fire like flies up. So stupid.
I love Xena.
It's been so long. Oh my gosh, the entire episode is just like the wacky cast of characters in the city. Let's go meet all of them.
Yeah, yeah.
As you're walking down the road, you bump into Shule. Not really. So you move down the road. Move down towards a coyote. You're down, going down the trade disc all to where, once again, the shop sort of goes smaller and smaller. Public gets a lot less publicy. What's the word I'm looking for?
the public gets a lot less public-y.
Shut up. So anyway,
you mean it's like more residential?
It's quiet. It's quieter down here. This is where the Ugly Coyote is. It's here on, it's here towards the tail end of the Great Sword Citadel fossil because, you know, they don't, it doesn't want a lot of people. And so there's cheaper properties down here. And amongst them is the book den. You see a very quaint little shop. Quite small, actually, for you know, being some great hoard of books like Fyro seems to think it is. Looks like maybe a two-story shop. Small sort of entrance right in the front. Kind of tucked between some larger buildings. Very rustic looking. Do you want to go in?
I was expecting something a little grander, but maybe she procures specialty books and scrolls. I suppose we can give it a shot, eh, Jules?
Yeah.
Opening the door to the shop, you are met with the smell of old leather and fresh ink. So the walls are lined with shelves of books, writing supplies, and possibly some magical scrolls. See a set of stairs leads up to the second level, blocked off with rope and a simple private access sign hanging from the banister to the wall. And you see, as you go in, a young elven woman sits behind the purchasing counter, her nose buried in a book. She seems to be totally enveloped in the words she's reading, but notices as you walk in and turns up to greet you by saying,
"Hello, welcome to the book den."
And we'll call it there. Hell yeah. So tune in next time because we're partnering up with Meg, Hungry Familiar, and her her zine, The Book Den, for this next one, where we got Meg's voice clips, as you just heard. Got a bunch of them. We're soundboarding this. And also, just so you know, all those book titles, or at least a good amount of them, all Meg's titles from her zine. So check her out. And we'll see you next week.